Cool.
So, I'm talking to some people this morning. Sounds like we had some interesting week this week. Different things going on. Bad, good, indifferent. It's interesting because Paul's devotion goes really well with what we're going to talk about today. I actually didn't finish my sermon 3 weeks ago. I didn't touch on all my points. And I thought it was good, and the Lord reminded me that I was messed up, so I need to revisit that. And then he tied some other things together. You see what the sermon title is, A Faithful High Priest? We're going to realize, learn, and understand what a high priest actually is. Okay. But first of all, let's go to the Lord in prayer, because I need him this morning desperately, because this needs to come from him. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father, Father, humbly come before your throne this morning. Father, we're looking for you to show up. I'm not just saying that, Father. I am asking you, your God. This is your word. You need to be in it. You need to be saying what needs said. And you need to lead my mind in the direction you need to go. And Father, we're just going to learn about you this morning. We're going to learn to praise and magnify our God, our Lord, and our Savior. Father, we're just waiting for you to show up. I'm waiting. Father, in your precious name we pray. Amen. I don't know, probably nobody can tell me what I preached on 3 weeks ago. I don't remember either, sorry. No, I was talking about a verse of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It says, "For no temptation or trial regarding his type of sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you that is not common to man. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance, and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience and such as man can bear." Amplified really draws it out. But God is faithful to his word and to his compassionate nature. He can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. But with the temptation, he will also always provide a way out, a means of escape, that you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear up under it patiently. That's a lot, isn't it? Huh? Yeah. I could have shortened it a lot of ways, but the Amplified really brings out a lot of stuff there. But it kind of ties in with what I want to talk about today. Do you ever think sometimes when you pray to God, to Jesus, that he's really, really, really far away? He's God, right? I mean, he's got a lot of things on his plate, right? He's taking care of the universe, right? I mean, this is a lot of stuff. Do you ever feel that way? I want to bring him down to a place where you can understand that he is our faithful, great, faithful high priest. Okay. So, 1 Corinthians 10:13. It's not on the bulletin. I didn't give it to Julie this morning because I wanted to just kind of reiterate on this a little bit. It says, "God is faithful to ensure the tests he ordains are not greater than the strength he provides to pass them." Did you get that? God allows things to come into your life that are not stronger than you are. Really, God? Really? Really? Can you believe that? Patsy's done it. Jamie's done it. It must be there. It's like, really, God? You know what I'm saying? Something happens. He's like, really? That more? Really? He says, I'm not going to give you more than you can handle. I want to look at a couple of Greek words here. Temptation. The word for temptation here is pietermos. It's used of trials with a beneficial purpose and effect. Did you catch that? It's a trial with a beneficial purpose or effect. Something that comes on you that's beneficial to you. Isn't that cool? That's what the word means. And then, God is faithful, trustworthy, to be tempted. I like this. Testing will cause its recipients to appear as exactly as what they have always been. What? Testing will cause its recipients, the word is piazzo, it means testing will cause its recipients to appear as what they have always been. This is primarily the reason for this word. You mean when I have a trial come upon me and I go, really, God? That's who I really am? Yeah. That's what these trials are for. I think they bring it to the point. Remember the roller coaster thing I talked about, Tim, smart man? God puts things in your life to get you to come closer to him. He says, where are you at, Matt? I ain't talked to you in a couple hours. Where are you at? I'll just give you a little something-something. You talk to me some more. Yeah, get you there. Huh? That's what God's doing. God is trying to make you more like Him. And you look in the mirror and say, boy, He ain't done a very good job. Huh? Don't we? So, it says, God tempts people only in the sense of self-knowledge, and so that they may often emerge from the testing holier, humbler, and stronger than they were before. Wow. He gives us a way to escape. Isn't that something? So you're saying, well, this is not really making me excited this morning. You don't know what I had going on last week. You don't know the troubles I had this week. You don't know what happened to me this week. You have no idea. No, I probably don't. But you know what? I know a God that does. And we start talking about Jesus and what He suffered on that cross. We understand. We look at that and think, boy, He just went through a lot. Yeah. I want you to see some things. We're going to start in the book of Hebrews this morning. We're going to go to Hebrews. And I told Julie there'd probably be some more stuff, and there is. Hebrews is an interesting book. You ever read a book of Hebrews? Nobody can agree on who wrote it. They don't really know. They don't really know who wrote it. The only thing they know is that it was written very legally, like a lawyer would write, like it's points. Points. You got these points. And it builds its points. And that's the book of Hebrews. And the theme of the book of Hebrews is the absolute supremacy and sufficiency of Jesus Christ as revealer and mediator of God's grace. And I love that. I love that. You know what? The theme of it is the absolute supremacy and sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ and God's grace. Isn't that something? Can't believe it, can you? I didn't think so. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to start out here and we're going to look at some stuff. Hebrews chapter 2. When Hebrews was written, it was written to a group of people that knew what a high priest was. Do you know what a high priest was? Or is? Does. Do you know what a high priest does? A high priest, we're going to look at this and I'll prove it to you. A high priest had to have two qualifications. He had to be sympathetic to you. He had to be sympathetic to the people because he knew he had like problems. He was sympathetic to you. And second, he had to be appointed by God. You couldn't just say, hey, I want to be a priest. No. He had to be appointed by God. Two, he had to be sympathetic to your problems. Remember, he had to be sympathetic to your problems. He knows what your problems is. Sympathetic. He's appointed by God. So, Hebrews chapter 2, we're going to look at some stuff today. I can't read all of Hebrews. I could, but you guys would all be sleeping on me. You guys would all have your crayons and paper out probably drawing and stuff because you wouldn't keep up with us. It's not dry, but it's impressive. In Hebrews chapter 2, we're going to just look at a couple verses here. Hebrews 2, 17, 18. There's a lot of talking going on. But so, in verse 17, so it is evident that it was essential that He, Christ, be made like His brethren in every respect. Did you pick up on that? You know the Lord Jesus Christ had to be made like you and me in every respect? He was human. In order that He might become a merciful, sympathetic, faithful high priest in the things related to God to make atonement and propitiation for the people's sins. Because another aspect, the high priest, when he was high priest, he went into the Holy of Holies once a year. We talk about this. Only one time a year. One time. You and I can wake up in the middle of the night and come right to the Holy of Holies. We can come to the throne of grace and just be there. Right there. We're there. Because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on that cross. The high priest could only come to the Holy of Holies once a year. Not without blood. He had to be perfect, spotless, blameless. He could only go once a year. He had to make atonement for his own sins. For the sins of the people. That's what he did. That's what his job was before God. He was the propitiation. He was the mediator between you and God. So the high priest did. Verse 18. For because he himself in his humanity has suffered in being tested and tried, he is able. And I like the way the Amplified brings this out. He is able to immediately to run to the cry of and assist and relieve those who are being tempted and tested and tried, and who are long, therefore, are being exposed to suffering. Because He knows what it feels like. We don't have a God who is just big and powerful. We have a God who knows exactly. exactly how you feel. Do you understand that? Can you understand that He knows exactly what it feels like to get tired? He knows exactly... He knows exactly what that's like. He knows what it's like... Say he was a carpenter. Say he knows, probably knows what it's like to thump his finger. You know what I mean, Les? We've all experienced that, maybe. Smash that finger. You know what I'm saying? I did that in January this year. And my youngest... one of my granddaughters, she's just the cutest thing you ever seen. They all are, but she's the cutest thing you ever seen. But she'll just sit on my lap and just talk. Oh, I got this shirt. And she just talks. It's like her mom goes, "Will you leave, Papa?" I said, "No, I just like to talk to her." She's just the cutest thing. She goes, "What'd you do with your thumb, Papa?" I said, "Smash." She went, "Ow! Ow! See?" I don't know what she was trying to prove there, but God knows how that feels. Isn't that something? He knows what it feels like to be human. Wow. Well, let's go on. So in Hebrews chapter 3, he says, "So then, brethren, consecrated and set apart for God, who share in heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confessed as ours when we embraced the Christian faith. See how faithful he was to him who appointed him, apostle and high priest, as Moses was also faithful in the whole house of God." Our high priest is faithful. You ever had a friend that wasn't faithful? You ever have a dog that wasn't faithful? You ever had an animal? I mean, we've all experienced that. The Lord Jesus Christ is faithful. He was faithful unto death. I mean, I'd hang with you guys. I would hang with you guys. But it comes to the point where, "Matt, we're going to go die. You going to keep with us?" I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Think about that. You say, "Yeah, we'll hang with you. Yeah, we got your back. We got this. We got this." We ain't going to die. You're on your own, buddy. Take it on yourself. You see what I'm saying? Jesus didn't. He said, "I will go to that cross for you. I'll die for you." Wow. Well, let's go on. Hebrews chapter 4. Let's go to chapter 4. Interestingly enough, we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 4. We'll start in verse 12 because I want to read this to you. Talked about the Word of God. That Word of God is alive, guys. It's powerful. You're not going to get what you need here on Sunday morning for an hour a week. You're not going to get it for an hour a week. You're going to have to get yourself in there. I'm going to prove that to you. You're going to have to get in there and look at this Word. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the Word that God speaks is alive. It's full of power." It's full of power. The Amplified says, "Making it active, operative, energizing, effective. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath and soul, life, spirit of the joints and the marrow of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of our heart." Wow. That book's pretty tough, isn't it? It's pretty strong, isn't it? Huh? He knows your heart. It says the heart is desperately wicked. No man can know it, right? God says, "I know your heart. I know your motives. I know why you're doing what you're doing." Go on. "And not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight, but all things are open and exposed, naked and defenseless to the eyes of him with whom we have to do." He can see it all. He knows your motives. Huh? Verse 14. "Inasmuch then, as we have a great high priest who has already ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession of faith." Verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liability to the assault of temptations, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sin." Did you realize what that says? Everything that you will come against in this life, everything that comes against you, every feeling, every thought, every intent in your heart, everything you have, every pain, every ache, every stop! I know it. He said, "I know it. I know how it hurts. No." Verse 16. "Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need." Amplified says, "Appropriate help, a well-timed help coming just when we need it." We come to the throne of grace. Does it ever feel like God's not doing anything in your life? Sometimes we look at troubles wrong. friend of mine was going through chemo, radiation, pretty beat up with it, you know, I mean, that stuff pretty hard on you. Sitting in a chair, going for chemo, radiation, feeling really bad, you know, just, you know. He said, this older lady come up, she sat down, she said, isn't it just awesome that God gives us this medicine to fight our cancer? Isn't it great? And he was like, oh, yeah, I guess that's not bad, I thought. She was excited, and I thought, sometimes we look at our problems wrong, don't we? Huh? She was looking at the God give us this medicine to help us. Isn't that great? And he was there. You know what I mean? Sometimes we look at our problems wrong. All right, let's keep moving. We have a high priest. Our high priest is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 5. Let's read this here. I told you about there's qualifications. That's the thing in the book of Hebrews. It's written like a lawyer would write. It's all very, very intricate. They're very fact. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, for every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men and things related to God, to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. It's his job. He is able to exercise gentleness and forbearance toward the ignorant and erring, since he himself also is liable to moral weaknesses and physical infirmities. The priest, high priest, had to know what you felt like, or how it felt, how it hurt, the emotion. He had to know what that felt like. Christ does. Isn't that cool? He's God, but he knows how you feel. He's experienced what you feel. He's experienced your problem. He's experienced your trial. He's experienced. He knows. Wow. Okay. Verse 4. Besides, one does not appropriate for himself the honor of being called high priest, but is called by God and receives it of him just as Aaron did. So too Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed and was exalted by him who said to him, you are my son, today have I begotten you. Psalm 2:7 says, today, you're my son, today I've begotten you. And what's it say here in verse 6? As he says also in another place, you are a priest appointed forever after the order of Melchizedek. Anybody know who Melchizedek is? Join the club, nobody does. Isn't it cool? Huh? I'll prove it to you. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 14. The very first book in the Bible. It's not hard to find. Genesis chapter 14. Melchizedek is not mentioned very many times in the Bible. He's mentioned here in Hebrews, and he's mentioned here in Genesis chapter 14. There was some stuff going on here in Genesis chapter 14. Abram, son's Lot, or his nephew Lot, had been captured by five kings, and they had taken all the spoil and the women, the children, all their stuff, and they had taken them. And somebody cousin tells Abram, tells him, says, hey, your nephew Lot's been, you know, he's been kidnapped. And so Abram gets his got 318 guys in his house that have been trained to fight. So we're going to go get them. So they go get them, and they actually defeat them. And Abraham brings back all the people. He gets everybody. And on verse 16, Genesis 14, 16, he brought back all the goods and also brought back his kinsmen, Lot and his possessions, and the women also, and the people. Cool. Verse 17. After this, after his, Abraham's return from the defeat and slaying of, it's Chedorlaomer, and of the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shaveh. That is the valley, the king's valley. Verse 18. Melchizedek, king of Salem, later called Jerusalem, brought out bread and wine for their nourishment. He was a high priest of the Most High God. Melchizedek. We don't have any genealogy on Melchizedek. None. Don't know who his father was. Don't know who his mother was. Nobody knows. Don't know when he was born. Don't know nothing. We know nothing of him. But he was a king. He was a priest of the Most High. El Elyon. That means he's got more power than anybody else in the whole world. He is the guy. El Elyon. It's God. He's more powerful than everything there is. He was a priest of the Most High God. Never in Jewish history is the king the priest or the priest the king. Never. It don't happen. You don't do that. You don't mix that together. But here, Melchizedek is a priest and a king. Sounds like somebody we know, maybe? Priest and a king. And what's he bring? Bread and wine for their physical nourishment. What did we just partake of together as a family? Communion. cup. We took that. It's the same thing. Melchizedek is a precursor. He is a perfect example of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Isn't that cool? Huh? Melchizedek. And Melchizedek says in verse 19, and he blessed him, blessed Abram. Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, possessor and maker of heaven and earth. And blessed, praise, and glorified be God Most High, who has given your foes into your hand. And Abraham gave him a tenth of all he had. And that's it. That's all you see of Melchizedek in the Old Testament. Period, exclamation point, done. Nothing. In Psalm 110:4, it says, you are going to be called after the order of Melchizedek, priest. It's a messianic psalm. That's it. There's nothing else about it. It's it. So we see Melchizedek. He had no beginning, no end. Sound familiar? He's a king. Sound familiar? He's a high priest. Sound familiar? You bring bread and wine for the physical nourishment. We do bread and wine for our spiritual nourishment. We show forth the Lord's death till he comes. And the reason I want to spend a little time with that is because it's mentioned a lot in Hebrews. You're here after the order of Melchizedek. Christ, you're after the order of Melchizedek. You're after Melchizedek. On your way back to Hebrews, let's go to Exodus. Exodus, let's go to Exodus chapter 34. I want you to see something. I see some things here in the church, and I kind of think this is pretty cool. I want you to see this too. Exodus 34. I'm sorry. And we'll start in verse 27. I want you to see something here. Moses. This is Moses. He's gone up on the mountain. He's going to get the Ten Commandments from God. And Exodus 34, verse 27. And the Lord said to Moses, "Write these things. For after the purpose and character of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel." Verse 28. Moses is there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He ate no bread, drank no water. And he wrote upon the tables in the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. He didn't eat for 40 days. Doctors say that's about it for you. If you don't eat in 40 days, you're probably going to die. They say what? 3 days without water, you're going to die. Moses is in God's presence 40 days. Didn't eat, didn't drink. Had to be getting nourished from somewhere, didn't he? Verse 29. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of the testimony in his hand, he did not know, check this out, he did not know that the skin of his face shone and sent forth beams by reason of his speaking with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, they feared to come near him. Now check this out. The reason I read them a few verses, and there's more I could read, but there's for you. Moses spent time. He didn't say, "Hi, God." Did he? He spent time. He said, "I want to spend some time with you, God. I want to talk to you. I want to get to know you. I want to be close to you." Huh? Remember when you was first dating? Girls got you want to spend all your time with that person. You went out of your way, right? You didn't care if you was tired or hungry or what. It didn't matter, right? That's the same thing we're looking at with God here. We're looking at Moses. He wanted to spend time with God so much. He was okay spending lots of time with him. What happened to Moses when he spent time with God? His face started to shine. And what's it say about Moses? He didn't even know that his face started to shine. And that's the thing I see in this church. And I had to chuckle because I see people spending time with God and you start to shine. You don't know it. You don't know it. People see it. Isn't that cool? Because why? You're spending time with God. Isn't that cool? Huh? How's that tie into all this mess, Matt? God's interested in changing you. Why do you think you have problems? If everything was smooth, you wouldn't grow a lick, would you? Would you? If you had no problems in this world, nothing, would you ever grow? Would you ever learn by your mistakes? Would you? Would you ever try to find God a little closer? Because this problem's big, God. You've got to step in now. Huh? I thought about talking about intercessory prayer. We might look at that sometime. But God shows Moses how to do intercessory prayer too. It's pretty cool. But when we start spending time with God, he starts to rub off on you. Huh?
rub off on you.
Huh? I've tried spending time with people that look really good. It hasn't helped me. I'm sorry. It hasn't helped me. But spending time with God rubs off on you. You don't see it, but other people do. That's pretty cool. I want to commend you because I want to bring... I see you guys getting stronger in the Lord. And that's the whole reason we come to church, isn't it? To learn more about Him and to get closer to Him and know God better so we can help somebody else. Right? That's what we're here for. Praise the Lord. We're talking about a high priest. Jesus wants to change you from the inside out. You ever look in the mirror and think, boy, I don't know, God, you know if you're doing very good work on this or not. I don't know if you're getting anything done on this one. Huh? I must be the only one that does that, because I look in the mirror and I think, boy, why did you ever love me? The praise band is really cool about picking words for me. I bring up words for myself. My word for the day is limited. Limited. Because I'm very limited. Very limited. And then I get looks and stares and probably slap upside the head. But, you know, I'm very limited because I know that I can only go so far. I can only go so far. But with God, what did Paul say this morning? I can do all things in Christ. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. How many times do you see people walk around in a trial saying that? Huh? Usually like, just shut up. I don't want to hear it. Don't shut up. Huh? You ever get that? Shut up. I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear a Bible verse. Shut up. My trouble is too big. Yeah, we've all been there. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 5. Look at some more stuff here. Read a couple more verses here in chapter 5. We looked at Melchizedek. Has no beginning, no end. We're going to look at that some more too, because he brought up. In verse 7 it says, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up definite, special petitions for that which he not only wanted, but needed. He brought up definite petitions and supplications with strong crying and tears to him who was always able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence toward God. The Amplified said his godly fear in that he shrank from the horrors of separation from the bright presence of the Father. You know, Jesus offered up prayers with tears. You ever pray with tears? Yeah. We've all been there. Yeah. I think we've all been there. We've brought up prayers to God in tears. Like Paul this morning, you know, it hurts. A lot of the stuff hurts. We think about things going on. It hurts. You talk to people, and you can't help but be compassionate. You feel their pain in your heart because you've been there. You've been there. Understand our Lord Jesus Christ has been there too. He knows how you feel. Isn't that cool? He knows how you feel. If you don't remember anything else today, remember that. He knows exactly how you feel. There's nothing that you've been through in this life that he hasn't felt, experienced in his. He's a faithful, sympathetic high priest. Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, and we're going to go to verse 12. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, our faithful high priest. He knows how you feel. He is not somewhere very far away in the cosmos and doesn't know who your name. He knows you so intimately. He knows every hair on your head, or lack thereof. Huh? Isn't that impressive? He knows every hair on your head. How intimately does God know you? He knows you. He knows how you feel. He knows the pain. He knows the hurt. I keep coming back to that, but he knows. Oh, he knows. Let's see. What are we going to read here? I don't want to read too much over here and make you all. God gives an oath. I want to, in Hebrews chapter 6. It says, accordingly God also in his desire to show forth, verse 17. Accordingly God also in his desire to show more convincingly and beyond doubt to those who were to inherit the promise, unchangeableness of his purpose and plan, intervened with an oath. This was so that by two unchangeable things, his promise and his oath, in which it is impossible for God ever to prove false or deceive us, we who have fled to him for refuge might have mighty indwelling strength, and strong encouragement to grasp and hold fast the hope appointed for us and set before us. Whew. You feel my inside? Like a balloon? That's usually how we feel, isn't it? Huh? It's usually how we feel. Do you ever feel God powerful in your life? Huh? I do when I'm over preaching. Maybe you guys should preach. That's a good idea. Maybe you guys should all preach. You get excited like I do. You say, man, is this great or what? Because I'm stupid and I know it. And God brings this stuff out. It's like, yeah, that was pretty intelligent, God. Thank you. Huh? Praise the Lord. He knows how I feel, doesn't he? He knows how I feel. So, we have a perfect high priest. And I guess I could read more and more, but I want to bore you with this, but he keeps talking about Melchizedek in chapter 7. It says, for this Melchizedek, chapter 7, verse 1, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, and priest of the Most High God. Remember? Never in history. Not both at the same time. Not the same guy. Different people. Met Abraham as he returned from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth portion of all the spoil. He is primarily, as his name when translated indicates, king of righteousness. And then he is also king of Salem, which means king of peace. We got a king of righteousness. We got a king of peace. Isn't that cool? Jesus. Verse 3. Without record of father or mother or ancestral line, neither with beginning of days nor ending of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues to be a priest without interruption, without successor. That's our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand, priests came from what Levitical line? Levites. Right? Priests always came from the Levitical line, right? Who did the Lord Jesus Christ come through? Judah. He wasn't a Levite. How is he a priest? He's after Melchizedek. Why are these other priests, Aaron, you see Aaron running around today? He died. You see any of these Levitical priests running around today back in the Old Testament? They all died. Their priesthood stopped because of their death. The Lord Jesus Christ's priesthood continues on because of his resurrection. Isn't that cool? He is our great faithful high priest, guys. He is our great faithful high priest. You get that? He is a high priest. He intercedes for you. He sits at the right hand of God. He sits at the right hand of God. He has suffered. Listen, he has suffered everything you suffered. Everything. Emotionally, physically. He's suffered it all. Suffered it all. He's sitting right at the right hand of God. He's seated to intercede for you and I. When you go, really, God? Really, this too? Really? Jesus goes, yeah, you know, doesn't that hurt? Oh my gosh, that hurts. I know. I did that once. Wouldn't it be cool? You get to heaven and say, do you remember? Oh, I did the same thing. I whacked my, oh, that hurts. You know what I'm saying? Wouldn't that be cool? He knows how you feel. Right? He knows how you feel. He's a high priest who knows just exactly how you feel. Seated at the right hand of God. He intercedes for you and I. When we have trouble and trials and tribulations in our life, he is there. He knows. He says, Father, I know what that really hurt. Oh, I know. Can you imagine? God knowing how you feel. It's pretty cool, isn't it? Huh? This time of the day, this little bitty time that we spend, talked about it some more with Dougie this morning in the praise band a little bit. This is the first day of the week. You get to enjoy the first day of the week off work. Get to come to church. This starts a week great, doesn't it? This is the first day. Monday ain't my first day. Sunday's my first day. I get to take the first day off. Isn't that cool? I get to spend it with you guys. And you get to spend it with me. But that's not a good thing. I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? Huh? We get to spend the first day of the week. And that's what we do. But this time we spend together will not get you through the week. This time together will not make your face shine. Moses did. This time together, this short time we have together, will not make you more like Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you what. after church, when it's over, you walk out them doors, probably all hell's going to break loose. You're going to have something come in your life. You're going to have something happen. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. Something's going to come on you, right? As a child of the Almighty God, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, as a son and daughter of the Almighty God, this is the worst hell you're ever going to experience. Think about that. This is the worst hell you'll ever experience. You know, when we die and go to heaven, there's no problems no more. Our pain is gone. Our suffering is gone. Our trials are gone. We're in the presence of God. We're like, yes! Huh? You know, those people out there that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, this is the only heaven they'll ever experience. You know what kind of hell it is here on earth. There's a lot of enjoyable stuff here. But it's a lot of junk too, isn't there? Yeah. Kind of makes you have a heart for those that are lost. This is the greatest heaven they're going to experience. And it's pathetic. Being in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, can you imagine? A faithful high priest who knows you. Keep saying it. I hope it's sinking in. God wants you to know that He knows you. God wants you to know that He has experienced everything you've experienced. God wants you to know that He is there with you. And God wants you to know that His Holy Spirit is with you. It's inside you. It's giving you power. Strength in Him. So when somebody asks you who a high priest is, a great high priest is, do you have any little inkling of what they did? A little bit sympathetic to you and me, our problems. Appointed by God. That's our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that cool? That's so cool. I cannot reiterate, He knows you. Do the Lord in prayer. Father. Father, I thank you for showing up this morning. I just praise you for your strength and your power. Your words in my mouth, Father, because I'm not that smart. You know that. Father, you are God. You are so awesome. And I just thank you, Father, you love each and every one here. Each and every one here, you've experienced what they're going through. You've suffered their trials, their tribulations, their physical pain, their emotional pain. You have suffered that. And you know what it's like. Father, we can come boldly right into the Holy of Holies. Before the throne of grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. We just come right before your throne. Father, I just, it's on my heart, Father, to lift up this congregation to you this morning. That they can come boldly, and your grace would be sufficient. Your grace would be timely. It would be there. It would be in their hour of need. Father, you would show up in a mighty and a powerful way, and they would know that it had to be you. We're humbled by your presence this morning, Father. We just praise you and we thank you and we love you, Father. In your precious name we pray. Amen. This praise band coming forward. Les looks like about the only elder we have here today. If they come forward, this is a time we open every Sunday. You come forward, pray for, prayed with.